The air with bright and beautiful music. This is KIXI, AM and FM, Seattle.
CBS News. A member of Patricia Hearst's legal defense team says he may appeal a judge's finding that Ms. Hearst is mentally fit to face trial. I'm Jerry Lande, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Judge Oliver Carter has ruled in San Francisco Ms. Hearst is to be in court Monday to enter her plea on charges of armed robbery. At that time, the judge says he'll set the trial date. Judge Carter said, after studying reports from four psychiatrists, there's no evidence of any serious mental problem and that Ms. Hearst is fit to assist in her own defense. Defense lawyer Albert Johnson says an appeal is a very good probability. More news coming up.
Legs pantyhose, did I hear right?
You heard right.
You guarantee it?
We guarantee it.
You guarantee my legs will fit?
We guarantee your legs will fit.
You guarantee my legs won't bag?
We guarantee your legs won't bag.
You guarantee they'll fit, not sag? You guarantee my legs won't bag?
We guarantee everything about legs. The fit, the feel, the look, the way they last. Legs pantyhose have memory yarn. Memory yarn stretches out. Memory yarn remembers to stretch back. It's a fit you won't forget.
Memory yarn stretches so my legs will fit.
Memory yarn stretches out so your legs will fit.
Memory yarn stretches so my knees won't bag.
Memory yarn stretches back so your knees won't bag.
You'll love legs pantyhose too. And if for any reason you don't, we'll refund your money or send you a replacement, whichever you prefer.
Our legs fit your legs. They hug you, they hold you. They never let you go.
President Ford has told audiences of Republican contributors in Massachusetts that he apparently intends to carry his fight for election into all 31 state primaries. The primaries start with New Hampshire in late February and end with California in June. In an earlier speech, the president took pains to signal both allies and adversaries that his dismissal of two noted hardliners, Schlesinger at defense and Colby at CIA, means no change in America's tough posture of defense. Correspondent Phil Jones examines that speech in detail.
Had it not been for the president's firing of the defense secretary and the CIA director, Mr. Ford's Massachusetts speech would have received little note. For what he had to say was not new. It was only interesting in view of the big shakeup that occurred earlier this week. Mr. Ford's national security policy is not changed. He's always argued that weakness invites war. His attack on Congress for its persistent efforts to slice the defense budget was not new. The president's position remains the same as that expressed by Defense Secretary Schlesinger before he was fired, that the defense budget cannot withstand extensive cuts. But the president appeared to be on the defensive over suggestions that Schlesinger was fired because of his opposition to some aspects of detente with the Soviet Union. Mr. Ford's argument was the same as it's always been, that there is no struggle between defense and detente. It is just, in the president's view, necessary to have a strong defense to make detente succeed. Phil Jones, CBS News, Washington.
The REA Express Company, whose truck fleets operate over a 500,000 miles of highway and which bills itself as the largest surface transportation network in the world, has announced it's going out of business. A federal bankruptcy judge has ordered the company liquidated. REA blaming the recession, labor troubles, and government overregulation. 8,000 will lose their jobs. For the first time since May, some 8 million Americans are out of work. New government figures disclose that unemployment rose from 8.3% in September to 8.6% last month, the first such increase in 4 months. Analysts blaming the rise not on layoffs, but the inability of more than 200,000 new members of the workforce to find jobs. They say the figures mean that recovery from recession is slowing down. The House Appropriations Committee has slashed $1 billion from the funds the administration wants for the food stamp program. It may be, the committee said, that one out of every five food stamp dollars is being spent improperly, and the Agriculture Department has the power to correct abuses. The committee said existing regulations would allow a man with a luxury home and car to qualify for food stamps if he only has $1,500 in the bank. Now this.
God we trust. America speaks.
Abraham Lincoln's creed. I believe in God, the almighty ruler of nations, our great and good and merciful maker, our Father in heaven, who notes the fall of a sparrow and numbers the hairs on our heads. I have a solemn vow registered in heaven to finish the work I am in full view of my responsibility to my God, with malice toward none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right, as God gives me to see the right.
Presented by the Catholic Communications Foundation.
It'll cost you 3% more to fly domestic airlines beginning November 15th. The Civil Aeronautics Board announced Friday it's granting the increase to offset higher airline overhead for fuel and for labor. I'm Jerry Landay, CBS News. CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall, moderator of these meanderings through the mysterious and the macabre. We say, revenge is sweet. But the accurate quote is, sweet is revenge. And the full quote is, sweet is revenge, especially to women. And it was written by Lord Byron, who certainly was in a position to know. And if you don't believe Lord Byron, you can take the word of Molière, who said, a woman always has her revenge ready. Does revenge really come more easily and readily to women? Or is this the chauvinism of male writers?
You can't frighten me, Mr. Killing.
I am not alone.
Oh, you have accomplices?
Colleagues, associates, collaborators.
How many?
Oh, 10,000 people. The entire town.
Do you mean the entire town will enter into a plot to murder me? That's impossible.
Why?
You can't get a whole town to...
You threaten the livelihood, the bread and butter, the future of every man, woman, and child in this place. You'll be surprised what people will do in order to eat.
Our mystery drama, Killing Valley, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Kim Hunter. It is sponsored in part by Luden's Medicated Cough Drops and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
When you say Budweiser, when you say Bud, you said a lot of things nobody else can say. There is no other one. There's only something left.
Anheuser Busch, St. Louis.
First, the good news about the treatment of cancer. Through chemotherapy, which is the use of anti-cancer drugs to lessen pain and lengthen life for many, great progress has been made. Through chemotherapy, a child with leukemia, a woman with breast cancer, a senior citizen with a tumor, can bring a normal balance to their daily lives. Now the bad news. More research is desperately needed to find newer, even more effective anti-cancer drugs, and more programs to bring those treatments to everyone who needs help. You can be part of that research. You can be part of that help. Send a check today to the Chemotherapy Foundation. That's Chemo, C-H-E-M-O, Therapy Foundation, Box 8, New York, New York, 10028. That's the Chemotherapy Foundation, Box 8, New York, New York, 10028. This is Bess Meyerson with a public service message from the Chemotherapy Foundation.
You've heard it said, good name in man or woman is the immediate jewel of their souls. And I suppose what it comes down to for everyone is the reaction the mention of our name creates in others. Polly Preston still has to get used to the fact that her name has suddenly acquired meaning. It wasn't too long ago that mention of her name wouldn't even cause a ripple. But now it really roils the waters.
At the 37th floor, I stepped off the elevator. The stunningly beautiful, immaculately groomed blonde secretary, with the mandatory English accent, put honey and heather into her voice as she said to me, "Oh, how do you do, Miss Preston? You look marvelous. The book, I understand, is doing fabulously. You're to go right in. Mr. Cantwell is expecting you." What a difference 6 months and a bestseller can make.
Hey, hello, Polly.
Am I late?
Just fashionably. Now, about the advance on your new book.
Herb, you'll have to discuss that with my agent.
Little Polly Preston, 6 months ago I had to advance you money for your room rent. And now you're having a headache with your taxes.
A most delightful headache.
Have you thought about your next book? Any ideas?
Well, I should have a first draft in 3 weeks. You'll have another bestseller.
Ah, what's it about?
Ever hear of a town called Killing Valley?
No.
I was born and raised there.
Oh, a book on life in a small town, huh?
Yes, and it's already written. Everything's in my head. But it's been 10 years since I've seen the place. I'll go back there for a few days. I want to get the feel of it again.
You know, if I were you, I'd go back there for at least a month.
Never. I couldn't stand the place that long.
Why, don't you like it?
I despise it. I detest what it stands for and everyone in it. All those corrupt, vicious people.
Oh, I see. It's going to be that kind of a book. You know, I'm afraid it won't be very good.
You don't have to publish it.
Polly, you wrote Month of Sundays. It had humor and art and understanding. That's your style.
I dashed that off as an exercise to see if I really was ready to write. I am. Look, do something for me. Send out a publicity release. Say that Polly Preston's new book is to be an exposé of a small town very much like the one she grew up in.
Are you sure you want it to be an exposé?
And I want it in tomorrow morning's papers. When I arrive in Killing Valley, I want them all to know why I've come back. I want to watch each of them wonder and worry how I'll portray them. Oh, I'll have a wonderful time.
Ah, Polly, this can't be you.
Why not?
I've seen people spoiled by sudden success, but I'd have bet my life on that down-to-earth, gentle girl I met 6 months ago.
But for 10 years, I've bided my time, Herb. I've directed my entire life toward one goal. Revenge. Killing Valley. Named after its first settler back in 1823, Josiah Killing. Oh, what a prophetic name. And through the generations, the family has practically owned the place. As I started down the hill, there was the town spread out before me. On the left, the old red brick buildings of the Killing Wire Copper Company. And moving in past the sprawl of shops and houses was the main street, named, of course, Killing Boulevard. The National Bank also had Killing's name on it as president. He was the latest Killing, Josiah IV. It was like a dynasty. The imperial holdings included the old Killing Insurance Company building and a new shopping arcade called Killing Mall. Finally, I parked in front of the only place on the street I had any affection for. Martha's Luncheonette. Cup of coffee, please.
Right away. Holy!
Hello, Martha.
Oh, kid, you're a sight for sore eyes. Let me look at you. Oh, well, now, who'd have known little Polly Preston? And that dress. It's got to be from Paris.
Oh, you look wonderful, too, Martha.
Oh, I'm just getting older and fatter. Oh, ain't there going to be a hot time in this old burg tonight? And every night from here on in.
Really?
Wow, it was in all the papers. Polly Preston to return to hometown of Killing Valley, which will be the locale of her new book.
You still make the world's best cup of coffee, Martha.
They don't appreciate it.
How's your dad?
Well, he's at the Veterans Hospital, you know.
Oh, well, I'll find time to run over and see him.
Hey, no, don't bother.
Why? Your dad was always so good to me.
Polly, he doesn't know anybody. His mind's just about gone. You know, he's kind of old, you know. So you're writing another book.
Yes.
Will I be in it?
Sure. You, Fred, my Aunt Grace, naturally my father. And, well, and that's all for the good guys. The rest?
Yeah, listen, kid. That book. It won't make you popular.
I already figured that out for myself.
You know, something's going on in this town.
What?
I don't know. It's just something in the air.
The only thing in the air is the pollution from Josiah Killing's factory.
Polly, you know what it's like to try to swim against the tide in this town. Look what happened to your father.
My father was a poor, friendless, beaten man. I'm somebody, Martha. I can't be pushed around by the likes of Josiah Killing or anyone else.
Oh, I still say, it could be dangerous.
You mean someone would try to do me harm?
I mean that book of yours. I would say some people would do anything to stop you from writing it.
Now, sit down, Mr. Killing.
I'm about to fly home, Mr. Mears. Thought I'd say goodbye. I've given you folks all the information you need.
Yes.
Do I detect shade of doubt in that yes?
Well, you see, Mr. Killing, the underwriting group would ordinarily look at your proposition as an extremely sound investment.
Ordinarily? I thought that was all settled yesterday.
Well,
Well, what? Are you saying people have changed their minds? If so, sir, I'm entitled to an explanation.
Well, I think we may be entitled to an explanation. You have asked our group to invest millions in the revitalization of the town of Killing Valley.
And I tell you, it's a fantastically sound investment.
Yes. Do you know Polly Preston?
Of course I know Polly Preston. Knew her father and her mother.
Well, Miss Preston is a very successful novelist, and there have been reports she intends to write a book about Killing Valley.
Well, now, what does that have to do
with... An expose...
Of what?
According to the publicity of all the sordid, corrupt, and immoral people who live there.
Why, that's just...
Look, is it true?
Is what true?
Are the people who live there sordid, corrupt, and immoral?
Absolutely not, Mr. Mears. No more so than the people who live anywhere else.
Well, quite frankly, that book isn't going to do our project very much good.
Well, you could write a book like that about any town.
Unfortunately, a prominent writer has chosen to write one about Killing Valley. And the timing couldn't be worse. Frankly, I only see one way out.
And what's that?
Convince her not to write that book.
Convince her? Oh, how?
I don't know. But one way or another, you have to stop her.
Just a minute.
Hello.
Helen. Oh, it's Helen. Oh, Where have you been all these years?
No, Aunt Grace, it's me, Polly.
Oh, of course, Polly. Oh, you look so much like your mother. So much. And I was thinking of her and of me when we were both young. And so
May I come in?
Oh, I'm such a silly old lady. Oh, come in. Oh, yes. Oh, my. You startled me.
But I spoke to you on the phone. You knew I was coming.
I knew. Oh, you look so beautiful. And you're back. You've come back home.
I kept my promise, Aunt Grace. I said I'd come home when I'd be able to make this town pay the price for Dad and Mother. Now I can collect.
How long can you stay, child?
Until I finish this book.
The book. Oh, is it to be the book the whole town seems to be talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my. Why? Why are you writing it?
Aunt Grace, you of all people should know what this town did to my father and to your own sister.
Yes.
I want revenge.
Oh, Polly, don't write that book. The past is gone. Don't disturb it.
They'll kill you. Oh, well, that's the second threat today. Martha's afraid for my safety, too.
Oh, that's not the sort of thing I mean. Polly, you're writing this book in order to kill people.
Well, that's what they...
Thus you become a killer also. And the first person you kill is yourself. The self that is kind and generous and open-hearted. Oh, don't kill that person. That young girl I knew. Polly, how about supper?
Supper? Oh, Aunt Grace, don't tell me it's that time already.
Your favorite stew is in the oven. And here are your first 20 pages.
How do you like it so far?
Well, I don't know.
Now, why don't you like it?
Well, I didn't say I didn't like it.
On the other hand, you didn't say you did like it.
Josiah Killing is a selfish, arrogant man.
That's putting it mildly.
And everyone in town is afraid of him. They have to be. He doles out their daily bread. Could you expect folks to side with your father against him?
Josiah framed my dad. My father was not a thief.
Well, the jury was guided by the evidence.
The jury constantly kept one eye on Josiah Killing. I'll answer it, Aunt Liz. Hello? Hello?
Get out of town.
Who is this?
Get out of Killing Valley.
Who are you?
Polly, what's wrong?
You write that book, and you're dead.
Hello? Hello?
So far, we have the classical elements of conflict. We have a writer who wants to write about certain people. And we have certain people who don't want to have themselves written about. If each side is determined to have its way, then things must move to a crisis, which must occur in Act Two, which I shall deliver in just a few moments.
Isn't it nice to know you're free? To see the things you want to see? Touch the heights you dare to reach. To know you're all that you can be.
In the free spirit department, Buick's midsize 1976 Century has a lot going for it. Efficient size, lots of room, neat things like that. But Century offers bonuses. It's a Buick, remember, which says one heck of a lot about how nicely it takes care of you. And Century does something for the sake of efficiency that no other American midsize car does. It comes with a V6 engine, and a Buick V6 at that. Century, the spirit will move you.
Free spirit, Buick on the wings of the wind.
Consumer Information Center of the U.S. General Services Administration. And we have a lot of happy facts, useful facts, over 250 government publications, just filled with facts about nutrition, about simple home repairs, about what records you should keep. You can learn how to remove stains or how to take care of your car. All kinds of facts. For a free catalog, write Consumer Information, Pueblo, Colorado, 81009. Learn the little-known facts of life that can help make your life a little happier.
Facts you can keep, facts you can use.
Send for your free catalog. Write Consumer Information, Pueblo, Colorado, 81009.
Life in a democracy is filled with problems, which is probably why it is so fascinating. A writer should be free to write as he, or in this case, she, pleases. On the other hand, aren't the subjects of a writer's story entitled to their privacy? It's all a matter of highly sensitive and delicate adjustments. Of course, there are always those impatient and impetuous people who prefer to cut through all the niceties and take direct, violent action.
Polly, you should call the police.
The police?
That's what the police are for. You did receive a threatening telephone call.
The police of Killing Valley. Every one of those brave boys in blue is a lackey of Josiah Killing. Especially Chief Watson.
Oh, Polly, is it worth it?
It's worth anything to destroy this town. Uh-huh. Who can that be? Well, speak of the devil.
May I come in, Polly?
I would say no, but it's not my house. Aunt Grace?
Please, come in, Josiah. Huh? Won't you sit?
I thank you.
I just received an interesting telephone call. Some hoodlum, no doubt, in your employ, threatened me.
Oh, why do you say in my employ?
Well, doesn't everyone in this town work for you?
If you receive such a call.
If?
There are people in this town who are nervous and upset.
And with good cause.
I'm sure it was just someone letting off steam, just as you are.
Just as I am.
Well, that's what this book's all about, isn't it? Letting off steam. Polly, I've come here to ask you not to write that book.
You've come here to threaten me.
I'm here to appeal to your sense of fairness.
Fairness?
Polly.
Oh, my. Polly. Look, I'll be as fair to you as you were to my father.
Polly, are you...
Miss Preston, please.
This town cannot defend itself against your charges.
Who's being charged? I'm writing a book about a small town. Who says it's this one?
Well, everyone's going to assume
I'm not responsible for that.
Do you want to destroy us?
I can't do that. I can cause you all some embarrassment. But after a while, who will really care?
You can destroy us. I'll divulge a secret. You're talking about the welfare of 10,000 human beings.
And how indifferent were those 10,000 to the suffering of one human being named Jim Preston?
Polly, I came here to appeal to your sense of justice.
Well, you've come at the wrong time, to the wrong place.
No, Polly, you...
You hated my father. Do you deny it?
No, I did hate your father.
And why did you hate my father?
No, Polly.
You hated my father because he married my mother. Because he married Helen McLeod, the girl you had chosen for yourself. He did what no one else around here would ever dream of. He took something that you wanted. He had the audacity to defy you. And you hounded him to his grave. You saw to it that no one would ever hire him. You killed him. And that broke my mother's heart, so you killed her, too.
Polly, you must...
And now get out.
Well, how's it coming?
Oh,
just great.
Oh, by the way, Polly, I'm financially grateful to you.
Why?
Everybody knows you and I are old chums.
Well, if I have a true friend in this world, it's you. You stood by me when no one else did.
No, it was nothing.
I didn't have any friends. Nobody wanted their kids to play with that Preston girl. After all, wasn't my father a bum? Then a jailbird?
Oh, he never did that robbery.
Oh, you know it and I know it. But Josiah Killing had him framed for it. Albie Stewart swore he found Dad's watch near the office safe. And didn't Josiah promote Albie to foreman a month after the trial?
Well, you don't have to convince me, kid.
And Artie Horn identified the man who was running away as my friend. Didn't Artie get a big loan from the bank a few weeks later?
Yeah, that's how it went.
Oh, I hope you don't mind my coming in here and blowing off steam, but it clears my mind. I should be getting back to that typewriter.
Polly, I think maybe you'd better leave here. Finish the book in New York.
Why?
I got a feeling. I think things are gonna get rough around here.
I'm not afraid.
If you're gonna turn the place inside out, you ought to be.
As I walked home, I kept thinking about what Martha had said. Why not finish the book in New York? Why was I staying? What was keeping me here? What was I enjoying it? After all, I didn't have to stay here longer. As a writer, there was nothing more I could get from the town itself. I heard the car before I saw it. God, it was bearing down on me. Surely I'd be killed for what seemed an eternity, but it must only have been a fraction of a second. I was frozen. And then, as I was about to be overwhelmed by a screaming mass of metal, somehow I managed to hurl myself out of the way. I fell against the curb. I felt a stab of pain, but I knew it was from the fall. I wasn't hit. I knew I'd be all right. I also knew that attempt had been deliberate. Come in.
Your aunt said that you would see me.
Ah, Mr. Killing.
And I spoke to Dr. Wellborn.
Did you?
He said your injuries are superficial, that you should be up and about in a day or so.
Oh, he said that, did he?
Oh, yes.
Well, now you know why I'm writing this book. You see, I'm Dr. Wellborn's patient. Information concerning me should be confidential between my doctor and me. Oh, but of course, Dr. Wellborn is your doctor. You own him the way you own everyone else in this town.
Now, Polly, I'm sorry about the accident.
You're sorry the driver missed me.
What happened was certainly not a deliberate attempt on anyone's part.
Why should I believe that?
Well, there are automobile accidents. We do have reckless drivers.
Well, what will you think of next?
Please, Polly.
Oh, as a writer, let me give you some ideas. Have me shot and frame some poor derelict as a burglar.
Now, Polly.
You'll have no trouble getting witnesses.
I've come here to offer you a proposition.
How the world has changed.
Now, your entire purpose is to ruin me. Or I'd do it. But leave the town alone.
How?
I'll pay you whatever you ask.
Oh, money.
A great deal of money.
But I'm no longer poverty-stricken little Polly Preston. And I'll make a fortune on this book.
You name the figure you think you'll make. And I'll double it.
But I'm not writing this book for money.
Listen to me. Polly, you must take my money.
Oh, no, no.
Take my money!
The way he said money, the way the words seemed to explode on his lips. Money. The words sent an electric shock through my body as if I'd touched a live wire. That word, money, I'd heard it before. I'd heard him say it before, a long, long time ago. But where? And for what reason? Money. You must take my money.
You must listen.
You're wasting your time, Mr. Killing.
Oh, don't be a fool, Helen.
Helen?
Oh, I'm somewhat out of sorts.
Why did you call me Helen?
Why, I don't know. I suppose it's because you look so much like your mother. Now you think about what I said, and I'll call on you later.
He was quite agitated. Walked quickly out of the room. I was feeling agitated myself. Where had I heard him say that word money before? And why had he called me Helen? What did Josiah say to you?
He offered me money. I knew he would.
You knew?
Oh, yes. That's why I let him see you.
What?
You must take his money, Helen. You can't be proud.
Why do you call me?
You were wrong, my dear, wrong. And now, Helen...
I'm not...
Jim will never work again.
Aunt Grace, there are times when suddenly you disappear.
Disappear? I can't account for it. I look at you and suddenly you're Helen. And I'm reminded of something.
Why were you telling Helen to take money from Josiah Killing?
Was I doing that?
Yes, you were. Helen was lying in bed, just as I'm lying in bed.
Oh, yes. That might make me think of Helen.
Well, why were you telling her to take money from Josiah?
I don't remember.
But I remember. I was a very little girl, and I remember how he said money.
I can't think of any reason why Josiah should have offered your mother money.
Are you sure?
Please. Please, Polly. Believe me.
Hello?
Mr. Killing, it's John Mears.
Oh, yes. Oh, what do you have to tell me?
What do you have to tell me? Anything new on that book? Have you been able to kill it?
Oh, not yet.
Well, it's still the fly in the ointment, you know.
I have a way of stopping her.
I hope so. But you realize, of course, you can't take her to court. The publicity would defeat the purpose.
Yes, I understand.
And not that either of us would even consider it, but any kind of rough stuff is out.
Well, naturally.
Well, what have you come up with?
I can put an end to the book completely.
Well, then do it. What's holding you back?
I'm not sure. It'll be worth it.
Mr. Killing, you're talking about millions of dollars.
I know. And I'm still not sure it's worth it. To me.
Balzac had a word of advice for all writers and speakers. He said, keep your words to yourself, because they belong to you and not to other folk, who will only twist them to serve their own purposes. Here we thought all along that Josiah Killing would do anything to stop Polly Preston from writing that book. And now we find out the sky is not the limit. The limit will be clearly defined when I shall return with Act 3.
You know, when you do your shopping at Tradewell, you're really saving money on big tea buys like these. Blade Cut Pot Roast USDA Choice Beef for just 69 cents a pound. Large beefsteak tomatoes, only 28 cents a pound. Campbell's Tomato Soup featured at 16 cents a 10 and 3/4 ounce can. And Abisco Saltines on special at 49 cents for a 1 pound box. Look for the Tradewell ads. You do well to shop Tradewell.
Thank you.
must be wonderful to be able to pay back the people who hurt you, to hurt them even worse. Maybe it's wrong, but it feels wonderful. That is, it's supposed to feel wonderful. Polly Preston has it in her power to destroy an entire town. So why doesn't she feel wonderful at this moment, which should be her moment of triumph?
Well, kid, I told you to go back to New York.
Now, be careful crossing streets from now on.
You know, people can get awfully ugly when it's going to hit their bread and butter.
Martha, why would my mother take money from Josiah Killing?
Whoever says she did.
She did. When I was a little girl, something somehow lit up in my memory. I remember she was very sick. She was in bed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she was real sick when you were no more than 5 or 6 years old.
And I remember Aunt Grace was there and Josiah Killing.
Well, now, what would he be doing in your mother's room?
I don't know.
Well, did you ask Aunt Grace?
She doesn't remember.
Oh, how can she not remember?
Oh, she's old, and maybe she doesn't want to. And I can't ask Josiah Killing.
No. And there's nobody left who remembers those days. Your mother's dead, so's your dad. And my father. Well.
Your father.
Now, honey, my father. He's so sick. He's in another world.
Look, he's my only hope.
Sure, you're Jimmy's little girl. Yeah, I remember you. Your name is Helen.
Oh, no, my mother's name is Helen.
Oh, sure, sure, Helen. I know Helen. Helen McLeod. How is your mother?
Mother's...
Oh, you know, Jimmy's supposed to come to see me today. We got a veterans meeting. Jimmy and I, we're gonna go to the convention in Washington.
Mr. Doyle.
Oh, no, not Mr. Doyle. Uncle Jack.
Right, Uncle Jack. Did Mr. Killing ever give my mother any money?
Oh, sure, sure. Lots of money. Now, what can be keeping your old man?
When did Josiah Killing give my mother money?
Always, all the time. You know, if your old man keeps me waiting much longer...
Why did he give my mother money?
I'll go without him. That's what I'll do.
Why did he give my mother money?
Oh, my poor Jimmy. He... never had any money to give your mother.
I don't mean my dad. I mean Mr. Killing.
You see, Jimmy meant well, but if he ever got his hands on a dollar, he'd spend it on the booze.
I'm not talking about...
And I helped him. The good Lord forgive me. Forgive me.
Tell me about my mother and Josiah Killing.
Your mother. She was the prettiest girl in town. And Josiah Killen was sweet on her. Engaged they was. And Jimmy said to me, Jack, I'll bet you $5 I can get her away from him. And I said, man, you're crazy. And he was. But he did it. Who could resist your old man?
Look, I know all that. But why did Josiah give her money?
Did he give her money? Who said that?
You did.
Oh, well... then it must be true.
Tell me why.
Now, Helen...
I'm not Helen.
Well, there's no need of your yelling at me. I can't stop Jimmy's drinking.
Please.
I'm not the one that gets him into trouble. He's the one who gets me into trouble. And that's why I can't ever hold a job. And Martha, my little girl Martha, can't even go to school. She's got a sling hash in that greasy spoon. I'm a bad father. I'm so bad. But at least I ain't as bad as Jimmy Preston.
What are you saying about Jimmy Preston? He's your best friend.
Oh, yes. Yes, my best friend. Yes. Oh, I told you about him. I told you, Helen, before you married him.
I'm not Helen. I'm Polly.
Oh, yeah, sure. Little Polly. So nice of you to come to see me.
Uncle Jack, please, think. Try to remember. Why would Josiah give my mother money?
Josiah Killing giving away money? Why, he wouldn't give away the time of day. Now, why is that old man of yours keeping me waiting?
Suddenly, something was happening inside of me. I didn't know what it was, but it somehow concerned my mother, my father, and Josiah Killing. and why he'd been giving my mother money. It was all so long ago, and I was so young. All I had were little stabs of memory. Tiny glimmers shone briefly and died. Money, that word. And it was how that word changed in sound. Yes, sound. The sound of it changed in my mother's voice. Oh, my Aunt Grace could tell me. I'd make her tell me. In spite of herself.
Am I disturbing anything?
Oh, no, no, Aunt Grace. Come in, come in.
I haven't heard that typewriter going.
Well, I'm thinking.
Of what?
Money. Aunt Grace, I look more and more like my mother every day, don't I?
Oh, God rest her soul, yes. It's the same face.
And my voice?
Oh, Helen. Helen.
I can't take the money, Grace. I can't.
Is it pride, my dear? What about the child?
Don't make me take his money.
Jimmy will never know.
Grace, I don't know what to do.
He loves you.
I know.
A woman always knows. Josiah loves you, and so therefore it isn't wrong.
But
take the money. It's all right. He loves you.
But I'm married now.
It doesn't matter.
How can you say that it doesn't matter?
Let him be good to you.
But it's wrong.
No. If it's an act of love, then it's right.
Aunt Grace.
What?
So my mother betrayed my father?
Polly, what are you saying? How can you think?
She betrayed
him? Who told you this monstrous falsehood?
You did.
I said no such thing.
My mother had an affair with Josiah Killer.
Polly, you must be mad.
He corrupted everybody, even her. He robbed my father of everything, even of me.
Polly, what are you saying?
And it was my mission to write that book as a memory to my father, to save his name.
Polly!
But Josiah is going to stop me. You see how? Just before the book goes to press, he'll confront me with the proof.
Proof of what?
Proof of the fact that my mother was his mistress. His bought and paid for mistress.
You can't say that.
Oh, yes. Here I am writing about the gutter morality of this town, and who's down in the mud with the rest of them? My own mother.
That's not true. It's not what happened.
Well, what did happen?
You mustn't think badly of your mother, dear.
Oh, no, of course not. Look, why don't you sit back in the chair and relax? I'll try to nap also.
Yes.
Just relax, Aunt Grace. Relax and close your eyes.
Yes.
Yes, relax, Aunt Grace. Grace, are you asleep? It's me, Helen.
Yes, Helen.
Look, I don't feel well.
Oh, try to rest. Try.
Grace.
Yes?
If something happens to me, what will you tell Polly about me and Josiah?
Nothing. You know that. You made me swear she should never know.
Oh, yes. Yes, that's right.
But Helen, dear, Polly should know.
Oh, no. It would destroy her memory of her father.
It should be destroyed. He was a bum, a drunk. He abused you. It was Josiah who kept this home going. His money.
Polly must never know.
And the money to send her to college. Am I supposed to lie about it? Am I supposed to say it was my money?
Yes, please, Grace, for me.
There was never anything between you and Josiah. He never did more than touch your hand.
Oh, please, Grace, let Polly have her memory. Let her keep her father.
He was no good. Even Josiah's influence couldn't get him free on that charge of burglary.
Jim's dead. Let Polly have something. Something.
And Josiah? Ask him. Ask ask him to show you a certain letter.
Nothing to stop publication of that book. You said you had a foolproof way.
I figured out the cost. It isn't worth it. Let her publish, Mr. Mears.
Well, then this has to be the end of our interest in Killing Valley. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so am I.
Mr. Killing? Josiah?
Well, how did you both get in here?
I want to see a certain letter.
What letter?
Show her the letter, Josiah.
Grace, I promised Helen, I swore to her.
She was my sister. I give you the right to break your word. I broke mine. I told Polly who her father was. What he was.
I don't believe it.
This is the man who loved your mother. Your father and mother weren't married long before Helen had ample reason to regret it.
Ah, Grace, don't.
But she was a woman who had to be loyal to her husband. She was loyal till the day she died.
You're making it up.
Show her the letter, Josiah.
Well, I promised.
She has to know.
I've carried this letter with me for years. No one has. Well, here.
Read it.
I can't.
You must. And then you'll be free. Forever.
My dearest Josiah, I can only write you a very short note to thank you for everything you did for me and Jim and Polly. No woman ever had a dearer, truer friend. I know now that I loved you always. And we were both foolish one night very long ago. And so my life and yours has been different. Josiah, after Jimmy and I are dead, please look after Polly and see that she never learns the truth about her father. Please, swear to me she'll never know the truth.
I'm sorry.
Where are you going, Polly?
Home. I have to. You see, there's a book. It's burning up inside me. A book about some wonderful people. And I can't wait to sit down and write it.
She did. And it was a very good book, too. It was well received and sold a fair amount of copies. But a bestseller, it wasn't. And a blockbuster, it never became. The other one? Ah, that would have been a different story. Well, I'll have a different story for you when I return shortly.
Ahmed is rattling his pan, begging for food. If he doesn't get it, he's going to die. Ahmed lives in Pakistan, and he's only 11 years old. He needs our help. George W. is an alcoholic. He wishes he weren't, but it's a disease, and he wants to get rid of it so he can once again support his family and bring dignity back into his life. Most of us are much better off. We have enough food to eat, and we have good health. When worshiping God, we express our thanks. But God wants more from us than thanks. We must do something for those of us not so well off. This year, while celebrating America's 200th birthday, join with others at your local church or synagogue and make plans to help relieve suffering. You'll end up helping yourself as well. Welcome God to America's bicentennial. Practice what you pray. A public service of Religion in American Life, the Ad Council, and this station.
The sounds of silence. The people who cry without tears, like Helen McLeod Preston. And those who love without ever touching, or even speaking, like Helen and Josiah Killing. And too often, we listen for words and look for actions as the clue to meaning. But all the while, all that matters is that which is hidden inside. But we hide nothing at all from you here, seven times each week. Our cast included Kim Hunter, Joan Shea, Ian Martin, and William Redfield. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Until just now, I thought I'd just...
You would just what?
Well, that I'd just... say nothing.
Judy, what do you know?
Well, now... now I realize I can't let those people go on grieving. I'll simply have to tell them, because at least they'll be comforted.
Why didn't you tell us the truth in the first place?
Because I was afraid no one would believe me. But that doesn't matter now. Because I have no choice. I've got to tell the world exactly what happened. It began when we'd just flown high over Bermuda.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Beautiful music. This is KIXI, Seattle.
CBS News. There are reports of fighting in the Spanish Sahara as Morocco continues to pour thousands of civilians into the disputed territory. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. Military sources in the region are saying that Moroccan troops in the desert encircled two battalions of Algerian-backed guerrillas who are opposed to King Hassan's attempt to take over the desert. Spanish Sahara Radio reported 250 Moroccan soldiers were killed and three of their helicopters were shot down. But the most feared type of clash has not come yet, a confrontation between those thousands of Moroccan marchers and the heavily armed Spanish defense forces who have threatened to drive back King Hassan's marchers. Morocco has now sent marchers in on a second front. A third column of marchers is to be sent in on Sunday. More news in a moment.
Miss Parker, music teacher, how do you spell relief?
When the acid indigestion hits me, I spell relief R-O-L-A-I-D-S, Rolaids.
Butch Mitchell, dog trainer.
For gas, I spell relief R-O-L-A-I-D-S.
Rolaids spells relief. Each Rolaids consumes 47 times its weight in excess stomach acid. Officer Hess, traffic cop, how do you spell relief?
For heartburn, R-O-L-A-I-D-S.
Rolaids spells relief. Use only as directed.
You can have great taste, lots of great taste and taste with Ludens. They're medicated cough drops with great taste in every box. Wild cherry, sweet and savory, menthol cool and flavory. Honey, the way you wish, with lemon or licorice. All you can have great taste, lots of great taste and taste.
with Luden's. Luden's, the medicated cough drops that don't taste medicated. They taste great. Use only as directed.
Governor Hugh Carey of New York has made a trip to California, one of several trips he's planning to try to drum up support for federal assistance to New York City. In Los Angeles, Mayor Thomas Bradley says he supports federal assistance to New York and told why.
I believe that every city is going to suffer in some degree from an increase in cost of doing business, cost of selling their bonds, a psychological impact that is incalculable. For example, just in the past week, I've had occasion to talk with representatives from three foreign governments, Great Britain, Italy, and the Soviet Union. And in each case, they said, we in our country simply cannot understand how the federal government in the United States would permit its principal city to go bankrupt. New York City to go bankrupt would be this country going bankrupt in the eyes of people abroad.
Mayor Thomas Bradley of Los Angeles. After more than a month as a kidnapped victim, Dutch industrialist Dr. Titi Herrema has been set free and his abductors are in the hands of the police. Irish Republican Army figures captured him 36 days ago, and for about half that time, he had been holed up in a house in Monasterhaven, Ireland. More on the story from Sean Dignan in Dublin.
His IRA captors surrendered after an 18-day police siege of the small County Kildare house in which they had been holding Dr. Herrema. A Dutch businessman walked unaided out of the house. His kidnappers, Eddie Gallagher and 19-year-old Marion Coyle, emerged shortly afterwards. Dr. Herrema was immediately brought to a nearby military hospital where his condition is reported to be satisfactory. Later, the kidnappers looked exhausted as they arrived under heavy guard at a Dublin prison. A long siege conducted by hundreds of troops and police ended unexpectedly. Pressmen who had been kept well away from the surrounded house were unaware that it had ended until Dr. Herrema and the kidnappers were being driven away. This is Sean Dignan for CBS News in Dublin.
President Ford returned to the White House late Friday night after a trip to Massachusetts, where he made four speeches. In Boston, he told a Republican gathering he intends to campaign until he wins the GOP presidential nomination in Kansas City next August. He also said he's planning to enter all 31 GOP presidential primaries next year. Now this.
You may feel it's an embarrassing subject, but since one out of every three people suffers hemorrhoid symptoms at some time, you should know about Preparation H. Preparation H gives prompt, temporary relief from occasional pain and itch in many cases. But Preparation H does more. Actually helps shrink swelling of hemorrhoidal tissues caused by inflammation. With so many having the problem, it's comforting to know that Preparation H helps shrink swelling of hemorrhoidal tissues. Ointment or suppositories. Use only as directed.
They set purity standards on the imported food I eat. They help locate scarce natural resources. They're working on everything, from pollution to overpopulation.
Who are they? They're the United Nations. Learn what it's doing for you. Get the free UN booklet. Write United Nations Association, Box 475, New York 10017. There's always been a you in the UN. Presented by this station and the Ad Council.
Craig Myers will spend the remaining days of the year getting ready for the job he assumes January 1st, mayor of the village of Liberty Center, Ohio. At 18, Myers may be the youngest mayor in the nation. The town of just over 1,000 people voted him in this past week. Mayer's quest for the job began after he complained to village officials about an 11 p.m. curfew on weekends. He said sheriff's deputies enforcing the curfew were hassling him. He complained to his father, who said, why don't you run for mayor? Craig did and won. Doug Poling, CBS News.
Thank you.
KIXI News Updates. Irish authorities say kidnapped Dutch businessman Tien de Herema has been released unharmed and his captors have surrendered.
On KIXI's community bulletin board, we have this item. Fresh live Maine lobsters will be steamed.